Genesis chapter 5 in your Bibles tonight. Great to be here. Growing up in the Jackson household, we didn't see my grandpa except Sunday through Tuesday, and he would leave out for a meeting. And he would come home on Sunday nights. We would go up there after church, and we met all of his friends from across the country by his stories. And he loved this church. He loved Brother Tom and all of his family. And it's great for us just to be able to come here tonight and worship with you guys in fellowship. I feel like I'm going a walk down memory lane. And so it's great, great, great to be here. Never forget, I was at a camp meet like this with my grandpa. Middle of July, 100-degree weather. Sweating cats and dogs and everything else. Lord moved in and everybody responded. It was all over. Brother Tom, we're going out to get something to eat. And I said, Pappy, why don't they have tent meetings in November? He said, these people are cold enough. They don't need it in cold weather. They need it in hot weather. Yeah. I'm thankful the Lord sent us a little bit of cool weather tonight. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 through verse 24. If you'll stand all over the tent. Tracy and I were living in Florida. A lady came up after church and we were outside greeting people. She says, I used to listen to your grandpa every day on the radio. And I hugged her and I said, God bless you. You are just incredible. She said, you're not much like him, are you? And I said, no, I'm a loser, but I preach from the same book. And so let's look tonight and see what the Lord has for us. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, and it says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. You got dressed up. You came to church tonight to meet with the Lord. And it's not dependent upon the musicians. It's not really dependent upon the preacher. It's dependent upon you. So I'm going to ask you right there, right where you're standing, to pray silently to the Lord. God, speak to my heart tonight. Father, we've come together. We've come into your house, gathered in your name to worship you. Tonight, speak to our hearts, challenge us, convict us in these dark days that we're living to live all out for you. Holy Spirit, you come and you stir us up. You challenge us with the truth of your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. To read Genesis chapter 5 is like a trip to a crowded morgue. It's like a walk through a large cemetery. In this chapter, we see the genealogies from Adam to Noah. Over and over and over again, it says he lived, how long he lived, and he died. Over and over, and he died, and he died, and he died. Like the solemn ringing of a funeral bell, and he died, and he died, and he died. Like the squeaky wheel on a funeral carriage, and he died, and he died, and he died. Like freshly dropped dirt clods on a freshly laid coffin, and he died, and he died, and he died. It's the vindication of God's word, for God told Adam in the Garden of Eden, thou shalt not eat of that tree, for in the day thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die. And Satan says, no, 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 you'll not surely die. You'll be as God's, knowing good and evil. And he died, and he died, and he died. But in the middle of this black hole of death stands this sunbeam of life. In the middle of this desert of death stands this gardenia of life, a little flower called Enoch. Now, very little is said about Enoch in the Bible. He really only makes 3 brief appearances on the Bible stage. He's mentioned here in Genesis 5. He's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. He's mentioned in Jude verse 14. Interestingly enough, more is said about Enoch in the New Testament than is said about him in the Old Testament. 51 words in the Old Testament, 94 words in the New Testament. Enoch had one claim to fame. He never parted the Red Sea. He never killed a giant. He never walked on the water. He wasn't swallowed by a whale. Enoch is known for one thing. He walked with God.
Amen.
Here is my question for you tonight. How is your walk with God? You say, well, preacher, hey, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Preacher, hey, I'm a deacon. Hey, preacher, I'm a charter member of this. Some saint left me a Reese's cup. Amen. Preacher, hey, I'm a charter member of this church. Here's the question. How is your walk with God? There is no greater testimony than that of Enoch. He walked with God. Walking is mentioned 200 times in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 38 says, we walk before the Lord. That's integrity. Psalm chapter 63 says we can walk after the Lord. That's intensity. But here it says that Enoch walked with God. That is intimacy.
Come on.
Great. I'm glad you're here. We're all sweating together. How is your walk with God? How is your communion? How is your fellowship? We see three snapshots from the life of Enoch. But understand, it's all about walking with God. First snapshot. The condition of Enoch's world. Now, you're in Genesis chapter 5. Turn over a page and look at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says this. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now, when Enoch was born, Adam was 622 years old. Adam had lived long enough to see what one man's disobedience could do to the world. Don't you know that he was the saddest man alive? He knew what it was like to have communion with the Lord, and he knew what it was like to be separated with the Lord. Satan comes and says, no, you'll have fun by living this life. He's a liar. It will destroy your life. Genesis chapter 4 tells us that Enoch's world was a world of commerce. It was a world of industry. It was a world of music. It was a world of religion. It was a world, though, that had turned its back on God. This verse 5 says, the wickedness of man was great. The world was not evolving. It was on a downward spiral, and it was falling apart. Three conditions of Enoch's world. Notice verse 5. It was a confused world. Now notice this verse. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Notice this. That every imagination of the thoughts, if you write in your Bible, circle that word thoughts, of his heart was only evil continually. That word thoughts means plans. It means agendas. They weren't just sitting around dirty daydreaming. They were coming up with plans. They were coming up with agendas, with ideologies to tear down the very fabric of society. This Enoch's world, immorality was rampant. Marriage was a matter of convenience. Polygamy was the norm. But understand, in his day, they had these agendas to tear down society's fabric.
Yeah,
listen, you understand there is a homosexual agenda tonight. You understand there is a liberal agenda tonight. You understand there is a humanist agenda. You understand there is a feminist agenda. They are coming up with these ideologies to tear down the very fabric of society. His world was a confused world. Secondly, his world was a corrupt world. You're in Genesis 6, verse 5. Look down at verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. Corrupt means to be decayed, to be spoiled. Enoch lived in a wicked society. You say, preacher, how does society become wicked? Listen, spiritual apathy. When we in the church are spiritually apathetic, it leads to social apathy. When we don't care about the coming of the Savior, before long, we're not going to care about the character of our leaders. The problem in our world is not with society. The problem in our world is in the church. Do you realize in our society, we've gone from Andy Griffith to Lady Gaga? What's up with that? Do you realize in our generation, we've gone from Leave It to Beaver to Sex in the City? What's up with that? Listen, we want to look down our nose and say, oh, that Hollywood crowd is so wicked. Hollywood's always been wicked. Problem is, we in the church are wicked because we're watching. It was a corrupt world. It was filled with violence. Notice this. Turn back to chapter 5. It was a condemned world. Now I know it's Thursday night. No, you had a long week. But I need you to think. Enoch's world was a condemned world. Now you look at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot, notice that next word, Methuselah. Well, the word Methuselah means when he shall pass, it shall happen. Can you see God telling Enoch, Enoch, when your boy dies, I'm going to destroy the world. Don't you know that every time Methuselah sneezed, Enoch would break out in chills because he knew when his boy died, it was all he wrote for the world. Now listen, I need you to think. You with me? You're in Genesis chapter 5. Look down at verse 25. And Methuselah lived, you see that? 187 years and begot Lamech. Look down at verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. So you add those two together. You with me? You say, preacher, it's Thursday night. Come on, come on. 187 plus 182 equals 369. Good job. Turn over to Genesis chapter 7. Look at verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the second day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of the heaven were opened. Now come on, say with me. 369 plus 600 equals 969. Now go back to Genesis chapter 5. Look at verse 27. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Enoch lived for God because his world was condemned. He knew our time is short. We must live for God now while we have a chance. Now, wait a minute. Not only did Enoch live in a condemned world, you live in a condemned world. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth and also the works that are in shall be burned up. Listen, our world is under condemnation.
Come on.
And we in the church are doing nothing about it.
Come on, preacher.
We in the church, well, it's awfully hot out here. We in the church could care less about our neighbors. We in the church could care less about those we work with. We in the church could care less about our family. Hey, Enoch said, I have to walk with God because there's not much time left.
Amen.
Friend, there's not much time left for us. If there ever was a time to wake up and serve Jesus, it's tonight.
Come on.
The condition of Enoch's world. Secondly, notice the consecration of Enoch's walk. You're in Genesis chapter 5. Look at verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Evidently, having a son changed Enoch's life. He took responsibility for being a father. I don't know if it happened like this, but I wonder if it did. I can see old Enoch in the supermarket. Get some good old vegetables, some corn, some green beans, some strawberries, some bananas. And he looks up and he sees Adam. He said, Adam, Adam, tell me, let's talk, Adam. What was it like being in Eden? Tell me, Adam. And I could see Adam say, oh, it was great. There was no sweating in Eden. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
He said there were no briars in Eden. There were no problem with the lions. They didn't have problems with ants. They didn't have chiggers in Eden. Adam says, can I tell you the best part of Eden? He said, the best part of Eden. Every evening God would come and he would walk in the cool of day and we would fellowship with him and we would talk with him and he would tell us that we are his own and the joy we would share, we would carry forever. None other has ever known. Friend, how is your walk with God?
Amen.
You say, preacher, I go to a good church. Preacher, my wife's pretty spiritual. Hey, how is your walk with God?
Come on.
You say, wait a minute. It's a wicked world we're living in. Do you realize all the temptations we have? Enoch did it for 300 years. 109,500 days. How is your walk with God? It was a walk of communion. Enoch means dedicated. He was sold out. He was committed to walking with God. Walk carries the idea of progression. He was growing. There can be no progression in your life unless there is a regular time with God. It was a walk of communion.
Amen.
Secondly, it was a walk of confrontation. You don't have to turn, but let me read the verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 says this. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, hold on a second. If he pleased God, that means he wasn't going to please the world.
Amen.
If he was going to please God, he was going to have to say no to the world. No man can serve two masters. Either he'll hold the one, hate the other, hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Enoch had backbone. He said, no, I'm not going to go with the world. I'm going to go with Jesus. And he was sold out. How is your walk with God? Friend, there's going to have to be some things you're going to have to say no to if you're going to walk with God. You're going to have to get up out of the bed early. You're going to have to cut the television off. There's going to be some things you have to say no to if you're going to walk with God. Alexander the Great, the story is told of him. One of his soldiers in the heat of battle turned and ran. They found the soldier. They brought him the tent of Alexander the Great. They found Alexander the Great's feet. And he said, young man, you deserted your soldiers in battle. The young soldier begged for mercy. The young soldier pleaded for mercy. Please, sir, give me another chance. Please give me another chance. I promise you I will be the best soldier you ever had. Please, sir, give me another chance. Alexander the Great showed him mercy. Alexander the Great says, you go, you be the best soldier that I have in my army. The young soldier got up, turned to walk out of the tent. He got to the door of the tent and Alexander the Great says, hey, young soldier, what's your name? The soldier dropped his head and said, my name is Alexander. Stories told that you could see his blood begin to boil as it rose in his body. He said, young man, change your name or change how you're living. And friend, that's my word to you. If you're a Christian, live like it. If you're a Christian, act like it.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian, talk like it.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian, dress like it. Hey, if you're a Christian, it should be evident in your testimony. Enoch's walk was a walk of communion. Enoch's walk was a walk of confrontation. Thirdly, the condition of Enoch's world, the consecration of Enoch's walk. Notice this. I love this. The coronation of Enoch's work, after serving God for 365 years, God called Enoch home. Now notice this. You're in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. Enoch's rapture. And Enoch walked with God. You see that next phrase? And he was not, for God took him. My grandpa used to say, when Americans send a man into space, they call him an astronaut. When the Russians send a man into space, they call him a cosmonaut. When God sends a man into space, he calls him a was not. He was not, for God took him. Enoch was right at home. He had been walking with God. Heaven, listen, friend, is all about Jesus. Some of you are going to be lost in heaven because you're not walking with Jesus. You're not fellowshipping with Jesus. You're not communion with Jesus. My question to you, forget everyone else. My question is to you, sir. My question is to you, ma'am. How is your walk with God? How's your quiet time? If you're not in this word every day, you can't be close to Jesus. If you're not praying except over your food, you can't be close to Jesus. How is your walk with God? I love it over in Hebrews. It says that Enoch was not found. If he was not found, that means they looked for him. Oh, crazy Enoch. Oh, oddball Enoch. Oh, preacher man Enoch was missed when God took him. Now, this world wants to make fun of us. They want to call us those religious nuts. But when God takes us, we're going to be missed.
Amen.
Look at verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Notice this. For God took him. It means to take, to snatch, to seize, to take away. One moment he was here. The next moment he was gone. Evidently it was some form of a rapture. One moment you could see him, and one moment he was gone. He had vanished. What does that sound like to you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Are you ready for Jesus' return? The first man in space was not Alan Shepard. It was Enoch, and he didn't have a capsule. Enoch's rapture. Hey, do this. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 5. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. My friend, listen. You're not here to please your friends. You're not here to please those people you work with. You're not here to please society. You're here to please God. Here's my question for you. Back row, front row. Are you pleasing God? My question for you, how is your walk with God? How is your communion with God? How is your fellowship with God? Is God pleased with the fellowship that you have with Him? Now look back at the verse. Before this translation, he had this testimony. He pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, notice this, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Enoch is raptured. Enoch is rewarded for his works. He had walked with God and walked with God and walked with God and walked with God and walked with God. And God says, Enoch, it's time for you to come home. And he called him home and he rewarded him.
Amen.
Listen,
amen.
If you're here tonight Salvation is all about grace. You can't work. You can't do anything to go to heaven except accept Jesus' gift of salvation. Amen. It is a free gift. Understand the judgment seat of Christ is all about works. You're going to stand before Jesus. And you're going to be rewarded for your works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. This verse says, Enoch walked with God. And God rewards people that walk with Him. So friend, forget everybody else is here. In the stillness and quietness right there, how is your walk with God? I was home from college. I went to my grandpa's house on Covington Highway. It was just before Christmas. I walked into his kitchen, walked around the corner into the living room where he was sitting. Always sitting right there on that one couch. Walk in, I see him. This is what he says, Lord God, Neil, where are your socks? And I said, Pappy, we don't wear socks in Florida. He says, Neil, you're not in Florida, you're in Georgia, and we wear socks in Georgia. Tonight, he would be glad to know I got socks on. We sit down, we're chatting, and it wasn't 5 minutes. He says, I feel like the Waffle House is calling. How do you feel? I said, I feel like the Waffle House is calling me too. So we go like a mile up the road to the Waffle House. We're sitting there. Smoke is flowing through the ceiling. Grease is floating through the air. You have all these truckers in there. Rough people. And we're sitting there talking about ministry. I said, Pappy, tell me about the good times. Tell me about the big times. Tell me about those hot old tent meetings. They're in Waffle House, getting my waffle and sausage. We're talking about God working. We're talking about lives being changed. We're talking about souls being converted. We're talking about churches getting burdened for people and praying and praying and praying. And these people that they were praying for would walk in and then they would walk the aisle. We're talking about all the good times of ministry. I said, Pappy, were there any bad times? Were there any difficult times? Were there any hard times? And he told me, one after another, the difficult times, the trying times, the burdensome times, the heartbreaking times, sitting there in the Waffle House, grease floating through the air, cigarette smoke floating through the air amongst all of these truckers. Said, Pappy, if you had to do it all over again, would you do it? Pappy, if you were starting all over again right now with all of the troubles and all of the heartache, would you serve Jesus again? Right there in the Waffle House, grease, cigarettes, and truckers. He started singing, It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. All trials will seem so small when we see Christ. He said, Neil, one glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So we're just going to bravely run the race till we see Christ. Friend, here's my question for you. How is your walk with God? Let's bow our heads and close in prayer. No one looking around. No one talking. Here's the question. Forget you being a deacon. Forget you being a preacher. Forget you being a Sunday school teacher. Forget you singing in the choir. Who cares about your charter membership? What I care about, how is your walk with God? Friend, don't sit like there like a bump on the log. Time is short. We're living in a confused, corrupt, condemned world. What we need today is some sold out Christians. What we need today is some committed Christians. What we need today is some Christians that said, I don't care what everybody else is going to do, but if no one walks with God, I am. Sitting right there, you say, preacher, I'm making a fresh commitment tonight. My walk with God is going to improve. My fellowship with God is going to improve. My communion with God is going to improve. Right there, right where you're sitting, you just raise your hand. Preacher, my walk with God is going to improve tonight. Come on, don't be shy all over. Back row, front row. Hey, my fellowship with God, my Bible time, my prayer time, it's going to improve. God bless you. Hands all over the...